This is Equestrian Legacy Radio's Saddle Up America. And from Nashville, Tennessee, I'm your host, Gary Holt. And joining me in Missouri is our lovely co-host, Tina Mae Weber. Good morning, Tina.
Good morning, Gary. How are you today?
I am warm and sticky. The summer has come to the Southeast. So that's okay. It's going to be a pretty weekend. It's going to be a great weekend, I think, for folks to get back out on the trails after a lot of wet weather over the 4th of July holiday. But we just have to put up with that and ride when we can, and I know that that's what you do.
Oh, I do. I think, actually, my slipper is going to be coming out this week, so as long as it's not storming, I can handle the rain.
All right. Well, listen, we have a terrific show, some wonderful guests today, and why don't you introduce them to our audience?
Well, today we have Jim McGarvey with Backcountry Horsemen of America, and then we travel to Eminence, Missouri, and talk with Bill and Betty Byrne, owners of Crystal Creek.
All right, so it's going to be a fun show. Jim is always great to have with us. And Eminence, Missouri, I think, is one of the prettiest areas to ride. So we're going to have a fun show talking with the folks at Crystal Creek. And we remind you that the Saddle Up America is made possible by our great sponsors at the General Store, where you'll find everything for the horse lover and folks that love the Western and equestrian lifestyle in the General Store on our website at equestrianlegacy.net. And by TrailGuard, 24-hour roadside travel assistance, guarding you down life's trails. You can learn more about TrailGuard today at trailguard.org. And by Trailhead Supply, your full-service online horse packing supply store. You can shop today with them at trailheadsupply.com. So grab a big cup of coffee, take a deep seat in the saddle, and when we come back, we're going to be talking with Jim McGarvey on Equestrian Legacy Radio, heard around the world on our free mobile app and online at equestrianlegacy.net.
I'm back in the saddle again, out where a friend is a friend, where the longhorn cattle feed on the lowly jimson weed. I'm back in the saddle again, riding the range once more, toting my old 44, where you sleep out every night and the only law is right. Back in the saddle again. Whoopee-tie-i-o, rocking to and fro, back in the saddle again. Whoopee-tie-i-a, I go my way, back in the saddle again. I'm back in the saddle again, out where a friend is a friend, where the longhorn cattle feed on the lowly jimson weed. I'm back in the saddle again, riding the range once more, toting my old 44, where you sleep out every night and the only law is right. Back in the saddle again. Whoopee-tie-i-o, rocking to and fro, back in the saddle again. Whoopee-tie-i-a, I go my way, back in the saddle again.
Gene Autry starts us off with Back in the Saddle Again, and we welcome Jim McGarvey to the show. And Jim, that last time you were on was the last time I could say I was looking forward to meeting you, because we were all together the first part of June up in Tennessee at the Circle E Guest Ranch. It was great to have you and Cindy with us.
Well, thank you very much. It was really a great event, Gary. I know you and Tina May ran the thing. I got it organized and going, and it's really a great event for the Fiona Rose Murphy Foundation. The band shell there sitting there in the evening listening to the music. Nice cool breeze with low humidity. It was really great. Nice. And then got to watch the Triple Crown, American Pharoah there, surrounded by horse people in the big room. So that was
fun. Yeah. Well, it was a fun time, and it sure was nice to have you and Cindy up there, and we didn't get to visit as much as I would have liked, but it was great to see you up there and appreciated you being there. Hey, we have a lot to talk about today, and let's start out talking about a legislative update. What's going on with some of the legislation?
Well, a couple things. We've talked the past year and a half. I'll just spend a minute on it, on our H.R. 845, the National Trails System Stewardship Act, and trying to get Congress to encourage the Forest Service to use more the volunteers across the country. And we're up to 51 co-sponsors in the House and 4 in the Senate, and probably getting some more on here. We had the holiday break here that was nearly 2 weeks in length in Congress. And so that's making pretty good progress, and a lot of bipartisan support there. Cindy and I went up to Washington for the American Horse Council annual meeting, and which the American Horse Council represents really about all disciplines,
right,
from the horse racing to trail riding to recreation to in-ring competitions and all those things. And so and a lot of veterinarian work and a lot of support companies, the medical companies that supply equine medicines. So it's a great group to be with, and I'm chairman of the Recreation Committee, and we're going to expand that even further. We had a big turnout in our committee meeting, and so we're looking forward to even expanding that more, because in the end of the day, a lot of the horses end up on trails, no matter how they started out. And
right.
So, but an interesting thing out of that, I want to mention out of that meeting was in 2011, I'll try to do this in 90 seconds, but in 2011 in Ogden, Utah, there was an outbreak of equine neural disease. I don't have the Latin name for it, but in my head right off the bat, but there were 2,000 horses at this huge national rodeo, and it was an outbreak at the rodeo. And so the horses went back to 19 states, and so it was kind of a big disaster in not being able to alert people. A lot of false information got on the on Facebook and social media, which was about as big a problem as, it doubled the impact of the outbreak, the National Veterinarian Association figures. So what they've done, they've come up with a system. It's called the Equine Disease Communication Center, and it's equinediseasecc.org on the website, where they're going to try to get the information out for any outbreaks, just like the CDC does for humans. Equine CDC, if you will. To get the word out, what to do, what not to do, where to quarantine your horse, where not to go. But because of lack of information of 600 horse shows in California that summer, they canceled 450 of them. And,
oh, wow.
Didn't know, they just, out of fear of it, and maybe it was unfounded fear, maybe it was correct fear, but they didn't know. And while we were there, the U.S. Department of Agriculture connected with the equine industry, they had 6 speakers for the whole morning, but they donated $75,000 to help kickstart this effort.
Oh, that's great.
Because it's a valuable thing. So everybody keep their eyes open and ears for the equine disease. You can go to equinediseasecc.org. Some other things on the that are kind of on the front burner for us are the reauthorization of the Land and Water Conservation Fund. While it sounds a little obscure to a lot of folks, to most folks, it's important for our wildlands. In 1964, same year as the Wilderness Act, this was authorized to tax offshore drilling and use those funds to acquire from willing buyers lands that will fill in habitat, national parks, and that. Sometimes there's a block that was owned by, you know, a family over the years, I think, it kind of makes an odd situation or lacks access to the blocks, access to these areas. And so it's coming up for reauthorization. Congress has already kind of sometimes shot the money in different directions than what it should be. But this is an important one. Raises about $900 million, each year. And it's at no cost to taxpayer. And a lot of this generates matching money. So a lot of foundations will match this money, you know, to double the impact of these dollars. So this is important, reauthorization land and water conservation fund. And the other one is, which I mentioned before, is the Wildfire Disaster Funding Act. And it's really, it's H.R. 167. That has 112 co-sponsors in the House, but it's, and it's making progress. I had the opportunity to speak to, Cindy and I did, to a senior congressman and his staff a couple weeks ago when we were up there, and he said this is going to pass before August is over. So it's getting close to that, so it needs to. But
yeah.
What it does, it keeps the Forest Service had to borrow from other pockets and all around to try to fight these fires. And just in the news today that the Forest Service predicted mega wildfires for the Northern California because of the drought and lack of snow. And all the dry conditions abound for 3 and 4 years, so it could be a disaster in waiting, getting ready to happen. So that one's important. And there's one last one that's close to Tina May's heart here. possibly today, even Congressman Jared Polis, he's a Democrat from Colorado, is going to introduce a House resolution. I don't have the number yet. It's called, it'll be, I don't have the correct name yet either. They kind of worked that one out, but it's the Anti-Seize and Sell Amendment, and it's to stop the federal government from considering selling, you know, our public lands to either the states or private individuals or other countries. And it had a lot of interesting points here. One I thought would just jump out here, that since 1970, non-metro counties with more than 30% of their lands federally protected enjoyed a 345% increase in employment, while non-metro counties only had 83% growth. And that's 45 years since 1970. And also a recent poll by University of Colorado pointed out that most Westerners do not want the federal government to give away their land to China or anybody else. So, but that's out there, and we'll see how that goes. And but that's sort of a summary of what's on the front burner national legislation. So.
Well, there are a lot of issues out there, and some of these, like the National Forest Trails Bill, should be a no-brainer.
It should be, and it's a matter of just getting everybody's attention. I mean, the bill, you know, they add number each new bill that comes in gets a new number that's added to it. It's already up to really 2,900. And that's since January, and so a lot of things. People say, well, why doesn't my congressman read all this? Well, he doesn't have enough lifetimes, or she doesn't have enough lifetimes to read all this, and even the staff, in a way, so they need some reason. It's hard to keep everybody focused. I mean, they have to reauthorize the budget or have government shutdown, so it's hard to say, hey, go sign my bill, you know, co-sponsor my bill, or our bill. And so it takes time, a lot of priorities out there, but making progress.
Well, there are a lot of issues that we're dealing with in the country today, and all of them are important to be addressed, but they kind of fight for attention, I guess, at the time. So hopefully these things will get approved and passed, and folks can continue to enjoy our public lands and fund the protection. You know, we had a gentleman on the show a couple of weeks ago that was a hot shot, and they really put themselves on the line to fight these terrible fires that are so prevalent, particularly out in the west part of the country. So anything we can do to help them is good.
You look at some of the videos of these fires, and the angle of this, of the side of the mountain is so steep that just us trying to walk in on a nice spring day would be hard.
Mm-hmm.
And these folks are fighting fires, you know, at a 45, 50 degree angle going up, you know, and or more. And so it's a tough business.
It is. And they're carrying the equipment with them and put their lives on the line every time that they go into one of these fires. So, well, that's a good update. There's some things for us to keep our eye on. And again, folks need to get involved and encourage your representatives to take a stand and make a vote on these things. So we're going to take a real quick break, as we always do, to acknowledge one of our sponsors, and then we're going to have a good time kind of talking about some of the educational programs that Backcountry Horsemen of America has to offer, something that we don't talk about ever or often enough. And so we're going to do that in just a moment when we come back and talk more with Jim. But right now we want to thank one of our sponsors, and that is Trail Guard, 24-hour roadside travel assistance with unlimited vehicle towing to a dealership that services your make vehicle, a second tow vehicle to get your trailer and horses home or to your destination, 24-hour coverage for you and your vehicle or the one that you're driving or someone driving your vehicle, and a 24-hour personal assistant to help plan your trip, and much, much more. Trail Guard was founded with one mission in mind, and that is guarding you down life's trails. You can learn more today at trailguard.org. And when we come back, we're going to be talking more with Tina May and Jim McGarvey. You're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio, heard around the world online at equestrianlegacy.net.
Things ain't what they used to be. What has happened to you and me? Seems like the wheels keep spinning round. We ain't gaining any ground. Let's pack it up and run till we reach the other side. Peaceful country. Chasing the lightning, trying to be finding a place to get lost in. You and me living in peaceful country. Little old cabin, we'll go riding, singing in the mountain, eagle flying out in the open. You and me living wild and free in peaceful country. Now that old moon is on the rise. I see the starlight. In the shelter of the pines, with open hearts and minds, peaceful country. Where the trail and the river crosses, let's cut back and cut our losses. Where the mountain snow is flying, love will keep you far from dying. Little old cabin will go riding, singing in the mountain eagle flying. Out in the open, you and me living wild and free in peaceful country. To get lost in you and me living in peaceful country. Little old cabin, we'll go riding, singing in the mountain, eagle flying. Out in the open, you and me living wild and free in peaceful country. Wild and free in peaceful country.
Well, that is Michael Martin Murphy's Peaceful Country. I tell you, every time I listen to that, I'm out of breath. I don't think I could sing
along.
I'm just out of breath trying to keep up with him. But you know, he put on a great show Jim, when we were up at Circle E, didn't he?
Oh, sure did. All the bands up there were really great. It was just and the way they to finish it off with Michael Martin Murphy, that was a good one. And
That was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about Backcountry Horseman's educational outreach for folks, and maybe start out with one that a lot of emphasis, I think, is placed on, that, and that's the Leave No Trace Behind program.
It is. I think, you know, it's funny with horses and backcountry, education is a big part of our what we do, but we don't even think about it that much because it's what we do. It's like, well, take, for instance, golf has been around 150 years, and you ask any golfer that, you know, that they're still learning the game, well, horses have been ridden for about 20,000 years, and we're still learning the game, you know, so it's like a continuous education, and so you take it for granted that that's what you do with horses and mules is you keep learning no matter what your discipline. But we do a lot of areas. The Leave No Trace is an important one because it cuts across everything in a way. Leave No Trace is a foundation that's now based out of Denver, lnt.org, and to learn some information there. And we've been active with them for a number of years. And the way they get the word out of the practice of Leaving No Trace is with education classes, and they train trainers. And now Backcountry Horsemen also trains trainers. We call them master classes. They're a week long, so it's very intensive. And often you're out in the woods camping, and so you're living the camp life with Leaving No Trace, from fire pits to everything. And how to do it right. The Forest Service, for instance, at 9 Mile remounting station in Montana, they still do the Leave No Trace classes out there, where you go out into the national forest. But we now have, especially for instance, in California, we have a 3-year program going. We had a grant to train as many Leave No Trace master educators, so that they can then teach other folks. And there are smaller day classes. There are, you know, just go to an event and explain to some folks, well, this just this little piece of it. And the reason it cuts across everything is for instance, Cory Booker is a senator from New Jersey.
Right.
I think he was mayor of Newark. I think it was Newark. But anyway, they had a Leave No Trace program in their parks, you know, just to pick up the cans and the stuff that's in parks, you know.
Right. Right.
So you don't have to be, you know, out in the middle of nowhere with a campfire and all that. It's just, it's right there. It's down your own road in a way.
Right.
But so we push it. It's an ethic, and it helps, especially with the horse people, for us to leave no trace, because, you know, we do have the horse poop on the trail. So we try to teach our horses to walk along and spread and all that. But around the campfires and all that, it really, really makes a difference. And so we that's a big part of what we do for education, is to Leave No Trace. But for folks, too, we've got a spot on our website, but also it's lnt.org to go to that. We also have the BC, Backcountry Horsemen of America Education Foundation, and it's modest in its dollars, but we do stay active every year with funding in the $500 to $1,000 range. This past year, we gave out 25 $1,000 grants, we give to chapters or individuals who've got a good project. Some have matching funds with a land agency or another nonprofit, and so they usually have educational components and trail. Maintenance, trail construction and maintenance, how to promote it, you know, cooperation among trail users, which that mm-hmm. can take some education,
right.
How to do it right, and of course safety and the care, safety and care out in the woods and on your horses, and also the resources out there. So our education foundation has been with us for a good number of years, and has done a lot of good work, and looking forward to more years with that. we also started something new that turned out to be a pretty big success rather rapidly. And this happened very quickly in our national board meeting in Sacramento, which was the last week of April. It was brought up about having one of our members is a national director, not an exec committee, Mac Long and his wife Connie Long. She's president of Montana's Backcountry Horsemen. Their business in the summer is packing in folks to the Bob Marshall Wilderness, and they also teach packing clinics. And so they offered an opening for one youth that and we had a competition. It turns out we had so many good applicants that we got donations in to get the kids there. I think they're around 20 years old, something along that line. Which we had more openings because they were all great applications. And they had just finished, I think, a week and a half ago. They came out of the Bob Marshall, but it was a five-day event for packing, and it drew so much interest, not only among applicants, but also our other chapters around the country, that we're going to try to expand this, systematize it. And what we want to do is have probably young folks and that are committed to carrying out, not just having a week of learning it in the Bob Marshall, for instance, which is a big treat in itself, but right. But to to carry on. And I know one of the young fellows, one of the folks that won it, his goal is to get into the Forest Service and with packing skills, among other things that required to get in the Forest Service. But the packing is making a big comeback in the U.S. Forest Service because just being able to get back in there. And so we're excited about that. So, and then all the time at our local level, we have clinics for new folks at chapter level. So we're always, I think we don't talk about enough. We always talk about our volunteer work and our advocacy work and that kind of thing. But education is one of our five guiding principles. And so it's good to talk about that. Thanks, Gary.
Yeah. Well, it's you've got these programs, people can get involved in them. And before the show started today, I was over and visiting the website, and there's some great videos that are on there. And one of them that I watched part of before the show started was one on what does the horse see? And that's kind of an important thing, you know.
Yeah,
how do you approach hikers and bikers and other horses on the trail? And, you know, what is it that the horse is seeing? We have a different vantage point. We are people, so we kind of look at things differently. But, some great, great video on there. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, there was some on packing and other things. And I tell you what, I'd hate to think I had to pack a horse to go anywhere.
Yeah, it is. As a matter of fact, I'd hate to be that pack, but not just saying it because it is tough. There's a couple of interesting things about it. Now, to really be proficient at it, it's like it's like a lot of things. You can go take a class, but if you don't do it, you know,
that's right,
you lose it.
Yep.
And it may sound maybe very clear in your head while you're there, but 6 months later, let's see. Another thing that's interesting, though, is the traditions about packing. There are so many different kinds of knots that the way you pack, we call it a manti, but let's just say a canvassed package of materials on both sides of the mule. There are so many different ways to tie that knot and tie that package up. And people defend it. I might as well say they argue in a bar over it, but I'm saying that they probably have over the decades.
Right.
Also, the Decker packing saddle or the sawbuck, and then you have the sawbuck of northern. Sawbuck is if you a sawbuck is two cross X's made out of wood that you put a
right.
piece of wood in and then saw it in the middle. It's sort of
right.
You don't see them a whole lot, but they are very, very handy. And what you do, you put them on the back of a pack animal, and then you hook ropes over those. To the sticks coming out the top of the X on the front and back. But there's a northern sawbuck in Wyoming, and there's a southern sawbuck in Wyoming, you know, And so that's just Wyoming, not counting all the rest of the states. And so there's a lot of ways to do it. I suppose anybody that we have a Southeast packing group. If you go to the Backcountry's Facebook site, you'll see where we have the Southeastern Packers. And we have a lot of pack folks down here that do it regularly and what you need to do. And they have classes. They just had one. So within the Southeast, you can learn that skill. I would suggest that you find one method of packing, you know, one set of tying the knots, one set of the this and that, and stick to it and concentrate on it, because you can't learn them all and you'll forget them all if you try to learn them all. So. Right.
Well, a lot of good information today on the show, and always a joy to have you with us. And let's give folks the website so they can check out all the educational programs and keep up with the updates that Backcountry Horseman has there.
It's bcha.org, bcha.org.
Okay. All right. So it's a great website. If our audience hasn't checked it out, they need to do that. And the best way to keep up with what's going on is to get involved, and don't wait until it's already happened. Know what's coming up, and express your opinion, and learn what Backcountry Horseman has to offer. That's an organization that works to keep these trails open for trail users, for recreational and stock use, and a great, great organization that has been ably led by Jim McGarvey for the last 2 years, and now is a volunteer executive director. And Jim, thank you for your service to Backcountry
Horseman.
Thank you,
Gary. Thank you very much for having me on.
Trail riders. Yeah, enjoyed it. Well, we're going to travel up to Eminence, Missouri, Tina May's part of the country, and we're going to be visiting with Betty and Bill Byrne at Crystal Creek Ranch in Eminence, Missouri, when we come back. And you're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio, heard around the world online at equestrianlegacy.net.
I was a blonde little girl, cowboy hat and curls, smiles wreathed in sunshine. A pony, a Mustang, spirits never tamed, childhood memories of mine. And I went riding while I was singing a Roy Rogers song, loping after restless dogies. Boys, I could do this all day long. Saddle a pony, keep calm or he'll bolt. He's still just a little bit green. I learned to swing a good rope, praying to God and hoping my life would never change. And I went riding while I was singing a Roy Rogers song, loping after restless dogies. Boys, I could do this all day long. Good luck riding horses that bucked. I hope that I would do just fine. Fingers twisted in mane, bareback and rope reins, childhood memories of mine. And I love to go riding while I was singing a Gene Autry song, loping after restless dogies. Boys, I could do this all day long. Keep calm or he'll bolt. Still just a little bit green. I learned to swing a good rope, praying to God and hoping my life would never change. And I went riding. Cowboy song, I went riding.
Well, that's Mickey Daniels singing Tina May's theme song, I Went Riding. And we're going to welcome to the show now Bill and Betty Byrne from Crystal Creek Ranch in Eminence, Missouri. Hi, guys. How are you?
Hi, Bill, Betty.
We're great. Thank you for talking with us.
Well, glad to have you. And I tell you what, you've got a beautiful website. We're going to give people information a little bit later in the show about how to find you and visit your website. But one of the most beautiful places, I think, that I've seen, and Betty guarantees me that those have not been photoshopped, so some awfully, awfully pretty country up there, right in Tina May's back door, and a lot to talk about. So let's kind of get started with talking about how you started Crystal Creek Ranch.
Okay, Gary, well, I'll be glad to kind of start here, and Betty can come in with any information she wants and things. Basically, over about the last 40 years, we were buying property because we love property, we love the country, and we have been raising cattle and horses for that long on the property. As time went on, we were able to purchase more, and about 15, 20 years ago, we were very fortunate to get the last piece that we owned that had a house on it overlooking about 2 miles of creek running through the property and everything. And in general, everybody we had up there to stay there or to look at it and things was just, there was a feel about it that we felt we wanted to share with other people. I guess it's hard to describe how you want to do, you know, what we're talking about there. And I know everybody that owns a place feels that way, rightly so, about what they have and things. But there are areas, and this particular area of the Ozarks is just so beautiful in terms of springs, creeks, hills, valleys, fields, topography that it is extremely varying and stuff that we wanted to work and share that with people and stuff. So it's been something that has been basically a labor of love for us to put together as we have gone along with it. And it has really just grown over the years from starting out with simple beginnings to getting a little bit bigger. And I'll ask Betty if I missed anything there.
No, I think he pretty well covered it. It's the area, besides the view, the smells, the sounds, you are just right in the middle of nature. And it's been a blessing for us and a blessing for those that have visited our place.
Well, talk to us a little. And there's quite a bit of history there in some of the cabins that you have. And one of them is I know you mentioned from back in the 1800s. Talk to us a little bit about the cabins and some of the history.
Well, we'll talk about the cabins, and actually I'll talk a little bit about history first. This area that we have right here was the first area settled by white men in the Ozarks here in about 1810 by Billy Mahan was the name of the gentleman that came in with his family. And the creek that we're on is named Mahan's Creek for that reason and things. At the time, Delaware Indians and some of the Shawnee Indians were in the area. But they moved in, and in actuality, the first courthouse or the first temporary log cabin used for a courthouse in Shannon County was right on the property here.
Wow.
But that said, we work with history so much here also to present a multifaceted look at the area and things. So we have two log cabins that are original. One was rescued. It was actually donated to us by the county court for Shannon County. It sat on the courthouse lawn for a long time. They did not have the funds to keep it up, and it was falling down. And they donated to us because they knew that we would move it and save whatever we could and save the history with it. That particular log cabin is now available for people to stay in, and that's on our small 3-acre lake. It's called the Lakeside Log Cabin. Features original logs that were hand-hewn by the settlers back probably 100 to 150 years ago. And things. That's one of the cabins. We also have another small cabin that was built by a gentleman about 60 years ago. and he donated it to us, and we moved it over here. And we've taken the liberty, when I talk about log cabins, people will kind of visualize and think that they're back with a dirt floor in the 1850s or something. Our log cabins have electricity to them. We've added air conditioning. There's a small refrigerator and a microwave, and they are fixed up inside. But we have remained true to the feel, so we keep the old metal roofs inside, even though we've re-roofed with new ones and things. And we keep the logs and the chinking and everything, so you're still getting the feel of the history, but having a certain amount of amenities that make your stay much better in places like that.
Right, right, right.
Well, you have such a variety in your cabins and your little the Russ Noah log cabin, and you got the sheep herder's wagon, and your tree retreat. Talk a little bit about those.
Okay, I will, and then I'll talk about the sheep herder's wagon a little. Betty can talk about the tree retreat. That was her dream of wanting a place down in the creek. But the sheep herder's wagon is an actual wagon that we went out to Colorado, and it was built actually new by a sheep herder who had retired, and he wanted to put one together that he had used all his life. I did not know at the time until we started this that sheep herders' wagons are all the same, and they have been for over 100 years in terms of the size and how they are built and how they were set up and the storage and everything else. Originally, in a kind of humorous aside in a way, we wanted to give that experience of being a sheep herder and living out. So we put the wagon up one of our hollers where there was nobody around and there was no electricity and things, right on a creek and a flowing spring. And we even put a pen up there, and we raise sheep and goats as part of what we do here in the ranch. And when people were going to come to stay in the sheep herder's wagon, we were going to haul about four or five sheep up there and put them in the pen, and they would actually feed them and take care of them. But that was a great idea, but it ends up that nobody wanted to stay out without electricity or without air conditioning and things. So after about a year or two of having nobody use it for that reason, we ended up moving it closer, putting a small air conditioner and microwave and refrigerator in and things. So it again has all the history and all the comforts of areas that we always have had and want people to be able to enjoy, but still remains true to the history. And to all our places are unique. We do not repeat anything in terms of you know, Betty's going to talk about the tree retreat, but we have three separate houses, and probably after she's done with the tree retreat, I'll talk about the old red barn or the remodeled dairy barn. But each one of our houses has its own history, its own uniqueness, its own size to be able to accommodate anywhere from two people to groups up to 20 or more and things. But I'll let Betty go over the tree retreat.
Okay, the tree retreat is in a spot with the we, as Bill said before, we bought this piece of property in various times, and one of the first 200 acres that we were able to purchase on it had this spot by the creek, and it was a favorite spot for our family to go down and just relax. And part of the reason is you are right where the creek is cascading over rocks, and you can just sit there, and there's always a breeze, and it's kind of like it makes its own music. It's just a beautiful, comforting place to be. And we cleared it out, and we built a structure that is up on poles, because when the creeks rise around here, and there's an old saying, I'll be there if the creeks don't rise, people really mean it, because the creeks rise, and you can't get across a lot of low places. Well, this is one of those places where when the creeks rise, you would be underwater if we didn't have it up on this 8-foot structure. So actually, basically, it's just a platform up there. It's enclosed with a roof and a 4-foot railing, and we have hammocks in it so you can sit and relax in the hammocks and go to sleep, and we have cots up there. And then there's a fire pit and a picnic table and a structure underneath, and it's also the best swimming hole we have in the creek. There's a good 4-5-foot swimming hole, and so it's a favorite spot of people to go and visit even if they're not staying in it overnight. So
oh, wow.
It's just one of our favorite places to be. I was there yesterday afternoon with the grandkids because it's a favorite place to just be.
Yeah. I will add to, in addition to Betty, that for the tree retreat, one of the requirements is an all-wheel drive or a four-wheel drive vehicle because they have to cross the creek one time through gravel and sand on our roads and things. So it's not for everybody, but it is definitely a place that lots of people like to go to.
Yes, you're about a half a mile away from the main area when you're at the creek, so you're definitely separate all by yourself.
Well, you mentioned yesterday, Betty, as we were visiting, that one of the unique things about Crystal Creek is that there's a lot of separation in these cabins. You're they're not just lined up, you know.
Some of them you can't even see from when you're at, like when you're at the retreat, you don't see any other places at all except just the fields, the deer, the turkey, you know, the raccoons, whatever you're going to see in nature. You're not going to see any other part of the ranch at all. And most of our places are, you may see across from one hilltop to another, and you will see, you know, another house, you know, across the valley, you know, and up on the ridge. We want it that way so people don't even hardly hear each other when they're around here. There are a few places that are a little bit closer, but it just depends on your preference. If you want to be totally isolated, you can be totally isolated in your own spot. Or if you want to be closer to where the farm animals and things are, or, you know, it just depends what your preference is. And our website, when they get to see that, they'll be able to see the different spots and pick what they actually want, what suits their needs.
Yeah, our main hall area, which is the area that where we have our small animal area, our poultry barns and things, and all our roads kind of funnel into it. It also includes a small game room and restrooms and showers for those places that don't have bathrooms in the houses and things. It's kind of our catch-all where everybody visits and comes to stay and spend time as they're coming and going. So we do maintain that as a little more trafficked area, but
right.
All that said, if we get 40 to 50 people in all our houses and all our places, we are basically booked up. So, you know, and that's spread out over hundreds of acres. So it's not as though you're going to see lots of people. And it's like Betty said, you can be by yourself if you want, or you can be more social and things.
Well, talk to us a little bit about... Yeah, go ahead, Tina May.
I was going to ask him about the cabins. We were talking about the uniqueness of each cabin and treehouse and sheep building. And I mean, each one is very unique. It's to itself. So these can accommodate anywhere from two to, like, your bigger one is the Red Barn, I believe. How many does that accommodate? Like a whole family could come and
yeah, our three houses will accommodate groups anywhere from 8 to up to about 20. Now, the old Red Barn will take up to 8 people, and it is actually, it was a milking parlor. They call it a 4x4 herringbone milking parlor, which meant that the cows walked in on either side, and the person would do the milking in the center and stuff. We took it, and we actually took it all the way down to the concrete block walls, tore out one side, but we left the other side of the milking parlor in it, and it is now part of the living room with a lot of antique equipment and milking things and just farm primitives all around. And then we built it up into basically a two-bedroom house and things. It has its own laundry facilities, two different bedrooms, living room, kitchen, dining room, and full bathroom and everything. Now, that said, then we go up to our main ranch house is the one that kind of had the beauty when we first bought it that made us start to do what we're doing. It has two floors, seven bedrooms. People can either two people can stay there or 20 people can stay there, and we do a lot with families and reunions and things. We also built on the outside decks. It has over 4,000 square feet of decks out there on four different levels. that overlook the creek about 200 feet below, and you can see for miles in all directions. And it's very kind of spiritual feeling place up there and things. So it's at our top of the line place, and then we go from there all the way down to, like you were talking about, just where two people will stay in different places. Our Cabin Ridge house will accommodate up to 12. It's a three-bedroom ranch-style house that was located on the ranch when we purchased it and things. So lots of different places to stay. When I say lots, actually, I guess we only have 7 or 8 locations for people to stay in, but extreme amount of variety. And our goal has never been to be a motel, a campground, or anything like that. Our goal is to give people an experience of family time, enjoyment, being out in nature, a bit of a spiritual feel. If our feeling is the closer you are to nature, the closer you're going to be a little bit to God. And by being out there, as most of your listeners know, when they're horseback riding or out and things, there's a beauty and a freedom and a closeness to a spiritual side when you're out there on a horse.
We want to take just a real quick break, and when we come back, we want to talk a little bit about the outreach programs that they have at Crystal Creek and how they developed into the horse riding program and the opportunity for our trail riders to get out and ride as well. But right now, we want to thank one of our sponsors, and that is Trailhead Supply, your full-service online horse packing supply store. With their storefront location in Kalispell, Montana, Trailhead Supply doesn't just sell packing supplies. They stand behind every product they sell, and they use them themselves. Trailhead Supply, your online source for the very best in camping gear, horse packing equipment, and horse riding gear. You can shop with Trailhead Supply online today at trailheadsupply.com. And when we come back, we'll be talking more with Bill and Betty and Tina May. You're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio, heard around the world online at equestrianlegacy.net.
Gonna ride this trail, ride it straight and true. And I hope at the end of the day this trail takes me home to you. 'Cause we all need a home we can ride back to. When the sun's going down and you're tired and your day is through, I could use a good horse to carry my load. 'Cause we all need a little bit of help sometime just to get on down that road. I'm gonna treat him good, I'm gonna treat him kind, I'm gonna treat him like I'd wanna be treated if the load was mine. When the cold wind blows and the thunder rolls and the dust devils swirl like the end of the world and you're scared down in your soul, you're gonna need a good friend right next to you. Together you can weather any storm, you can make it through. Straight and true, and at the end of the day I hope you find your way to the one who waits for you. Have a horse and some friends riding by your side. Good trail, good horse, good friends makes a mighty good ride. When the cold wind blows and the thunder rolls and the dust devils swirl like the end of the world and you're scared down in your soul, you're gonna need some good friends right next to you. Together you can weather any storm, you can make it through. Have a horse and some friends riding by your side. Good trail, good horse, good friends make somebody good ride.
Well, that is Jim Jones, and the song is A Good Ride, and, you know, not much better than being out in the nature with a good horse and good friends to enjoy what God's given us. But we're talking with Betty and Bill Byrne at Eminence, Missouri, at the Crystal Creek Ranch, and the way that you started into your horse program and activities is not the way normally it's done. Talk to us a little bit about the outreach programs that you started with.
Well, we definitely will here. And yes, I agree. We're not the ordinary, I suppose, where you would say that we were horse riding people before. And then we decided to develop the ranch and go into horse programs and things. We have always had horses. In fact, 20, 30 years ago, we had quite, I think, 25 or 26 fox trotters before I knew better and kind of bought a herd that had never been worked with too much. But that's called learning as you go, and we put in our time to do our
right.
learning and things. But what we, since we never really looked at the program or what we do here as anything other than wanting to share with other people, the outreach is kind of a natural growth over the last 15 years of wanting to share it in other areas. We've always had it available for people when they would come here, to stay in things where there is a component in the houses and in the signage and things to just get people to. We look at it as allowing people to realize they have a spiritual side and maybe think about that a little and move from that point into, you know, what they're doing in their lives and things. We do not work with people in terms of having counseling programs or anything like that. We have no agendas religious-wise or anything. We take everybody exactly where they are at the time, and we think that whoever comes to the ranch is sent there by God, and that is kind of we're here to just work with whoever is sent to us and things. But that particular said, we did have over the last few years spread more into outreach programs where we are partnering with different hospitals and programs mainly for children that are suffering. When I say partner, let me list some partners that we work with. We work with St. Jude's affiliates, Cox Miracle Network or Miracle Network Hospitals, counseling centers. We're in the process of developing our Wounded Warriors program a little more. We work with local schools, other nonprofits, child abuse centers. And when I say we work with them, we may only have a few a year in each particular area, but it is a development in progress. In 2012, we applied for and received our nonprofit status, so we are a tax-exempt 501c3 now. And our mission is to give a free two-night stay at the ranch to referred families. This day will offer small animal interaction, catch and release fishing, everything that's happening around here. Basically a time to reconnect, to rejuvenate with their families. So many of these kids and these people are dealing with difficult, challenging times in their families. We feel that coming here, being able to be together in a normal situation is our mission and what we try and do with our different programs. When they're here, we offer them a choice of, at no charge also, of whether they can take a horseback ride, guided horseback ride that we take out. We have a hay ride they can choose from. We have archery lessons. Or with the canoe rentals in the area, we have where they will give a free canoe trip or raft trip on the Ozark National Scenic Riverways.
What we wanted to do with this is include all the members of the family, not just the child that had the special needs, because we felt like it was really important for all the children to be able to have shared time and a family experience. So if we do the trail ride, it's for all members of the family, not just the child in need.
Right. Right.
Yeah, so many times when you have kids say you have a child that has cancer, that's the main focus of the parents, and it certainly should be, but it's also the other kids in the family do feel left out, and they feel guilty when they don't get the attention. They feel bad and things. So our idea is we want to be helping them and giving them something to do that's just as much fun as for the child that is facing more of the difficult challenges too. It's hard on the whole family in situations
right.
like that. So that probably to lead our outreach program into our horse program, we have found that, of course, animals and things are part of what we wanted to offer, where people would experience that as part of the outdoors. But we have found, and as you guys know, there's something about horses that strikes the heart and the soul of people to be on a horse, to be around a horse, to be working with them, grooming and things. So it was kind of a natural offshoot for us to develop more into the horse area as part of the programs that we're doing. We did, in the very beginning, start in, and we were almost there and almost at it going where we were doing a therapeutic horseback riding program for kids with autism and other problems. And we are in the process of redeveloping that with some new people. We are looking, and hopefully we have somebody here whose passion is in that particular area, because we have found that if somebody's going to be in charge of a program or wants a program like that, their heart has to lay there and has to be what they want to be doing, so that they are willing to get in there and do whatever it takes to make a program work. And then we're more than happy to support them on what situations that whatever they need to make that work for them and things with our facilities. But that said, we have moved from that point, and I'll let Betty kind of discuss what facilities we have for our horseback riders in general, who things. So, you
all
got
right.
it, Betty?
Okay. We have developed on the ranch over 6 miles of walking and hiking trails, and we've added to that, in addition to the walking trails, we've now included trails that connect all sorts of different parts of the ranch, so miles and miles more, and we actually connect to all the way to the Ozark National Scenic Riverways horse trails, horseback trails, and to the Angeline trails. So from here, you can travel on horseback for, they say, and I haven't been on all these trails, but they say for hundreds of miles, up to 300 miles of trails.
Once oh, wow.
Connect. So you can go from our land across private lands to, see, we have Ozark National Scenic Riverways is only a couple of miles away from here. So you can connect to all of that and all the trails available to that. And then lots of the places around here, even like Alley Springs and lots of places, you know, have facilities for hitching your horse, you know, and it's very horse-friendly country. When you are traveling on the ranch, you can go from over bubbling brooks to creeks to, and the water is all crystal clear. It's just beautiful country to travel. You can be in meadows with flowers to, you know, wooded areas to, you know, a lot of people come down here to even, you know, enjoy walking their horses up and down the rivers and everything else. It's just beautiful horse country.
Betty mentioned
it's beautiful trails there. There's so many things to go see. The water is just gorgeous. It's crystal clear. You can see you could throw a quarter and can tell if it lands heads or tails in deep water down there. It's beautiful, beautiful.
Yeah.
Got overlooks and everything. You got things to go to. You got things that you can actually ride your horse to, like the Alley Springs and things.
Yes, and
I love it though.
The Angeline Trails that Betty was talking about is developed by the state, and they just put those in the last few years. And there's probably about 25 miles of those developed in a whole area that they have right off the Scenic Riverways. And the Scenic Riverways, if people are not familiar with the Ozark National Scenic Riverways, it is a national park system which runs for almost 60 miles along these natural free-flowing streams that have been preserved for recreation and enjoyment. And also the Ozark National Scenic Riverways is the home to the Missouri Wild Horse Program, which is a federally mandated horse for wild horses and things, up to 50 horses. They are controlled by a league that kind of controls numbers and things, but it is one of the only wild horse herds east of the Rockies and things, so it's kind of neat. You might see wild horses out when you are riding around and things. So anyway,
but it's quite often people run into wild horses.
Yes, they do, and things, because they're quite alongside there in a lot of fields.
Yeah, there's several places where they kind of stay around. One is the Shawnee Creek area, another one is the old Broadfoot field, and yes, people, you can, if you're down here, people can guide you to where they were last seen. So, you know, you may be lucky, you may be able to see them that day. But from my understanding is those horses have been roaming free for over 100 years is what the date they're putting on them, how long they've been roaming free. So they've
been
around
many years, that's fair. Now, for those that have not ridden in your area, let's tell them a little bit about the trails. Tell them about the terrain, because I know it's quite rocky, and in that area, it's not only rocky, there are sharp rocks there, and hillies. We got the little Ozark Hills, so talk a little bit about that.
Right. You can ride, I mean, in basically any type of terrain you want, and there's a lot of mule riding down here because you can get into some steep, rocky places like you're talking about, the type of places that make you have to get off every 50 feet and retighten your cinch there to try and make it up or down and things. But there are also, one thing about it in this area, if you have a horse that does not like to cross water, you're probably going to have some problems, or they will end up learning to cross water by the time you're done, because that's the beauty of what we have, is so many springs and rivers and creeks and things that can be crossed, or you can ride along and such. The Ozark area itself, and our area in particular, is like I said, the main draw, I suppose, is the Ozark National Scenic Riverways and all the rivers and things. But it's a lot of small, what we call hollers, where there's a creek usually going down the middle of it, and there'll be fields and things, and then hills going up the side. And those hills can be anywhere from, you know, fairly mild to extremely steep and strenuous and things. And when you get on the trail system, you're going to find that there's been people that have tried a lot of these places, and you may get started on one of the trails. If it looks like it's going uphill, beware, because it may really go uphill when you get going. Thanks.
But there also are maps. I mean, there are maps. We have maps of our place, and, of course, those are all the trails have maps ahead of time, so you'll know what you're getting into. It won't be a total surprise.
Right. Yeah.
Okay, so you have horses there for people that may want to come and go for a trail ride that don't have their own horses, plus you allow others to come in their trailers, or they can stay in your cabins, and they also can bring horses there. And you have other activities actually there at your place. It's very family-oriented. Can you talk about some of the other activities that's actually there on your facility?
Okay, we actually have, first off, a lot of what we consider free activities that anybody who's coming here is able to partake of. We have all our walking trails, all our outside. We have our small animal interaction where we have goats and llamas and alpacas and sheep and chickens, and everything's roaming around fairly free where kids are able to feed them and things. We do have a lot of games. We don't encourage cell phones. We don't encourage TV. We don't have any TV reception at all. We do have some DVD situations in our houses, but our idea is we stock all our houses plus our main hall with lots of board games, lots of things to do as a family. We have a play area for kids. We have a labyrinth, which is a walking meditation place. We have you know, a horse-drawn and primitive museum. We have over 45 to 50 pieces of different horse-drawn equipment, which, if you're interested in that sort of thing, is pretty neat, and pieces that you won't see in a lot of places. In our main hall, it is all the walls are covered with farm primitives of all different types and things, and most of our houses have a lot of primitives in them also and things. Now, those are the things you can do. You have creek exploration. There's like about 3 miles of creeks running through the ranch and things. So you can get down into those and play in there, and they're a good place to cool off in the summertime. Then we do different activities that people can pay for when they're here. We take out a hayride either by reservation or every Saturday night. We take one out at 7 p.m. On Sunday mornings or by reservation, we have our guided trail rides. And we don't have a huge amount of horses. We just have 4 horses and then our Wranglers, horses and stuff to take people out. And those are guided trail rides. And they last about an hour. We do have archery lessons where we teach families, kids, young kids and adults also, to do archery with regular compound bows, actual bows you'd be using out in things. We have a small 3-acre lake, and we have paddle boats and canoes on that. We have catch and release fishing in the 3-acre lake where they can, you know, get out there and fish. And then we have the latest thing is what my wife added, our pedal carts, and it looks like a bicycle place around here and things. But Betty is a grade school learning disabilities reading coach, elementary teacher for many years, and kids are dear to her heart. And we have little kid stuff everywhere around here, so I'll let her talk about that
a little
bit. Go ahead. Go ahead, Betty.
How is that?
I thought Tina May was going to say something. So, yeah, the pedal carts are family-friendly. You kind of combine exercise and fun. You can have 2 adults and plus a child on them, and you pedal them. They first look like go-karts when you show up, but there's no engine. The kids are like, oh, go-karts, and it's like, oh, no, but they have a blast of them. They're just really fun. We also have, outside the main hall, we have horseshoes, and we have tetherball, and we have a volleyball net, and so there's just things to do everywhere around here, and the kids just, the whole family just really enjoy it, and when families are here, they really like the fact that they can let their kids roam. You know, you're not worried about, you know, where they're going to go or what they're going to do. You know, there's a freedom here that most people do not have at their houses, and that's part of the main thing. We always have campfires going at night, and the stars here, if it's a clear night, are phenomenal. They may be where you live, but I know they're not where everybody lives, and they're just, people are always amazed when they look up and they see the stars, because it's, we are so far away from industry, you know, that the skies are just clear, and it's just fun just to look up and see them at night.
Oh, it's beautiful down there. It's like a blanket of stars. It's almost like,
yes,
you can't see faces down there. It's gorgeous.
Yes, it is. I agree totally.
What about some, let's talk a little bit about some area attractions, because I know there's some other things within the area that people can go to visit. Then we're going to talk about your location.
Okay, well, let me kind of finish on our horse programs, just so, because I know that's near and dear to your listeners' hearts there, and we kind of talked about the fact that horses could be rented for guided trail rides, and that, of course, is in for beginners, mostly people who had never been on a horseback ride. We do not rent horses where somebody can just take them out on their own and things, but we do have the facilities, as you were talking about, for people to bring their own horses in. At the time, and this is, again, what we are developing here, where it's our intent to have experiences and different things for people to work with and different groups that can come in. But we're not intending, nor do we want to become a big trail ride where, and to us, big is more than 10 people and 10 horses and things. So, but what we're after is a small family group or the group of friends who need 4, 6, 8 stalls or something and want to camp and just be on their own there and things. Like everything we do, we don't try and do it in quantity. We try and do it with quality. And that's the same thing on our horse program also. We have a few covered stalls right now. We're in the process of building 6 more, so we should be able to work with more people in that direction. And like you said, if they can either stay in their campers in our RV area or rent a house and things also, however they want to go, or one of the cabins and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I did want to.
Sounds great.
Yeah, wanted to touch on that. Local attractions, boy, tons of things to do in this area. That's the beauty of this area. Of course, they're almost all outdoors.
Mm-hmm.
What we have around here is God's beauty out in nature and things. So it locally with the National Park Service and things, there are lots of stuff in the park itself. The Alice Springs Mill is over a 100-year-old grist mill that's open for tours. In the park, and the spring, the Alley Spring that comes out by the mill, doubles the size of the Jack's Fork River, which is part of the Ozark National Scenic Riverways. So if you want to experience this, go down there to the creek, the Jack's Fork River, not the creek, when it comes in, and be right above in the middle of the summer where the spring branch comes in, doubles the size, and the water will be about 85 there, and you jump two steps further, and it's 55 degrees. So it's quite an experience there. When people float the rivers and such, you go into where the spring's coming out, and in aluminum canoes, it will almost feel like somebody turned a refrigerator on under your feet.
Oh, wow. Wow.
And mm-hmm. But canoeing and floating on the rivers are one of the main things that happen down in this area. And on Saturdays, it will be crowded for the most part in the summer for on the rivers. But it's Saturday only. You can come down here even in the middle of summer. And in the middle of the week, you can get out on the rivers and probably not see more than a few people. It's all, everything is weekend-wise in that sense and not near as much during the rest of the week. The Ozark National Scenic River.
On the river on a Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday. Usually isn't so bad.
That's good. That comes from experience where you find, and some people really enjoy that experience of kind of wall-to-wall canoes. if you're wanting to get the feel of the river a little more, it is kind of nice on different days there and things.
Bumper cars or bumper canoes.
yes. That's what it feels like. There are lots of different places. The springs, big spring is almost 300 million gallons a day coming out into the river. There's seven major springs, some of the biggest in the country, right down here as part of the Ozark National Scenic Riverways and things. So
we also have a lot of different geological type of things like Rocky Falls, which is, maybe 10 miles away from here, something like that. It's a natural outcropping and where the creeks and the rocks meet, and it's a beautiful sight there. Once you're here, we can guide you to all sorts of places. Actually, our webpage also connects you to those places if you want to see more that way. We also have the Jack's Fork River, which is just a mile away, and then it connects to the Current River, and where the two of them meet is just really a pretty place. So, and then there's Big Spring, which is another big place, Round Spring. There are just places everywhere here that are natural and beautiful to
things
see.
Everywhere in that area. I mean, it's absolutely gorgeous, which the water is a little bit colder there than what a lot of people are used to as well. Tell us
exactly.
About the little craft fair. They have a craft fair in the fall. When is that?
Oh, yes. Second week in October is usually the weekend it is, and it's a huge fair. And we also have now at the same time going on, there is at, it's called Haunting of the Hills, and that's at Alley Mills, where they actually have a lot of old-timers come and tell old-time stories, and people set up all the original crafts from blacksmithing to basket weaving to hatchet throwing to you name
it.
It's happening there. So the whole area is just booming with people on that weekend with lots of things to do. Concerning crafts and the old-time arts and the things that people used to do and still do.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do.
And we will be remiss. Go ahead.
Well, Nas, go ahead. You go ahead with what you was going to say.
Well, I was going to say we would be remiss to not mention the cross-country trail rides, which is probably one of the biggest organized trail rides in the country that has, I think, six or seven different rides during the year down here right along the Jack's Fork River outside of Eminence and things. And as we were talking about, those rides vary from 300 up to 2,000 or 3,000 people. So you are definitely immersed in horses and people and quite a bit going on and things. But it is a large attraction for the area.
Yeah, and you actually you share the same trails.
Yes, yes. Yeah, their trails, really, they don't have any private trails per se. They link up to the Ozark National Scenic Riverways and to the Angeline State Trails and things, just as we do also and such. So it lots of development horse-wise in the area.
Well, you guys are
Go ahead.
Real quickly, let's talk about some of the extra events that you do there, and then we'll get into the location of where you're located at. But you do weddings, and tell us just a little bit about some of the extra activities that you do there.
Right.
Well, for events for people.
We do do weddings. We do reunions and things where we have bigger groups come in for the day. In that vein, we also work with local groups like the Missouri Department of Conservation. We'll put on ag days or farm days or logging days down here. We have the Missouri Extension Council. We'll do back-to-school farming days. We also do field trips for the local schools in the elementary area where they can come out. We have different field trips for spring and fall. And then we do, right now at this point, we have day camps during June for our local kids or anybody that may be staying here at the ranch and things who wants their children to partake in that. So we work with many different groups and things. We do have facilities as far as restrooms and areas, and it works well for them to be able to set up or use our facilities to have their special events.
Awesome.
We started a lot of this just because as a teacher, I saw that even though kids were around here and in nature, a lot of them really hadn't learned or hadn't really noticed it or paid attention to it or really got to see what they wanted to see or really pay attention. So that's why I started the Nature Day Camp Center, so that they could start really experiencing nature.
I think that's awesome. I absolutely think that's awesome. Well, Gary, did you have anything to ask?
Well, I just there, yeah, just a couple of comments, and first of all, let's give folks your website address so they can find you and learn more about what you do at Crystal Creek.
Okay, well, our website is crystalcreekranch.com or crystalcreekranch.org. We have both those websites. We'll go to it and things. And that's C-R-Y-S-T-A-L, Creek Ranch, .com.
Okay, well, it is a beautiful website, a lot of great information about what you can do there and the outreach programs that they have in place. And Betty, you've done a good job with those pictures. Is that okay?
Well, thank you.
Done a good job.
Appreciate that. We're also on Facebook if people want to see what is currently happening, and that's also Crystal Creek on Facebook, and you will find us there. So there are current photos at times and a blog, and just people can keep up with what we're doing that way if they would like to.
All right, so go visit crystalcreekranch.com or .org and visit them on Facebook. And I just want to say thank you, Bill and Betty, for sharing your beautiful place with so many people and the involvement that you have in helping folks that are going through some difficult times, whether it be our warriors coming back from the service and their families, or where their children, their families that are going through difficult challenges in their lives. So you're very generous people in sharing what you have, and we just thank you for sharing with us today.
Well, thank you very much, Gary and Tina May, both of you. We appreciate this chance to be able to get information about the ranch out to a larger group. So thank you very much for giving us that opportunity.
And we'd love to see any of you at any time. You don't need to stay here. You can just come and walk around and enjoy the beauty.
I want to experience that hammock and that breeze. I mean, it's sounding better all the
well,
time.
Well, come on down or up, wherever.
Or up. All right. Well, Bill and Betty Byrne, thank you so much for being with us today.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Bye.
All right. All right. Bye. Great, great folks. And be sure and visit their website. And when we're going to come back and talk with Tina May and kind of a few other things that are on the agenda with Equestrian Legacy Radio, heard around the world online at equestrianlegacy.net.
Say, Sam, do you remember a long time ago when we rode together where the Wyoming winds blow? High on a ridgetop, just you and me, we'd watch the wild horses running so free. Well, it was jerky and coffee, about half alkali, and a biscuit or two, we'd down on the fly. That old Mustang fever sure ran in our veins, and it seemed like the devil was holding the reins. Now we're chasing all the memories, though trails have grown dim, through the cedars and pinyons below the Kenny Rim. When it was just you and me and the Mustangs there in the blue shadows below the old Kenny Rim. Old broomies and hobble them fast, then back on the trail until the very last of our daylight had faded. We'd bed on the ground, then up before daybreak we'd go one more round. While Sam, them old ponies are just about gone, there's a few left like us, they're still holding on. The last one, but I reckon by then we'll have finished our run. Now we're chasing all the memories, though trails have grown dim, through the cedars and pinyons below the Kenny Rim. When it was just you and me and the Mustangs there in the blue shadows below the old Kenny Rim.
Our own Belinda Gale with a song from her great album, and it's called Below the Old Kenny Rim. And Tina May, this was just another fun show. Some great information with Jim McGarvey, and so many things that backcountry horsemen are doing and have to offer folks. So we want to encourage folks to get involved with backcountry horsemen, visit their website, and stay up to date with things that you need to know about on the trails. And, of course, Bill and Betty Byrne from Crystal Creek Ranch in Eminence, Missouri. What sweet people. They're just giving yes. back so much.
How wonderful of them to open up their ranch for these outreach programs and for others to enjoy. Beautiful yeah. area.
Yeah, yeah, and it sounds like just a gorgeous place. And of course, you visit their website and take a look at those pictures that Betty has posted, because it is beautiful, beautiful, beautiful place. Well, it's I don't know if we talked about this the other day. You have some kind of a new saddle that's just come out recently, don't you?
Yes, I do. I most certainly do. And I believe you're talking about the steel saddle, which that's still in kind of prototype. I still need to try it out and, you know, see if it needs any tweaking or anything. But Steel Saddle Company is a wonderful saddle company. They believe in trying before you buy. And I'm looking very forward to really launching that one out. I do have it on my Facebook page, but it's not available to purchase yet.
Okay.
The other saddle is my Circle Y saddle, which is made for trail riding as well. And that one they can see at www.trailride.horse.
All right. So some good-looking stuff, and both of those are great saddle manufacturers, and great that you guys have partnered up to bring a quality product to the trail riders out there. So anyway, visit trailride.horse, and
yeah.
pretty easy to find and remember. So anyway, well, it was a fun show, and I know we've got another one lined up for next week. Who are we going to be visiting with next Tuesday, isn't it? Tuesday. Next Tuesday at noon.
You're getting good at that, Gary.
I know.
Yeah, you did that on purpose. Next Tuesday, Saddle Up America, we have Robert Eversole, our very own Trailmeister. Then we travel to Otto, New York, and we talk with Alice Ferguson, owner of the R&R Dude Ranch. Pretty neat place.
All right. So, you know, New York is not all New York City. There's some beautiful farm and riding areas back up in the great state of New York, so that will be fun. And always a lot of fun to have Robert on the show, and maybe we'll catch up and find out what's been going on with Boo, his dog, since the last time that he was on. So this Thursday on the Campfire Cafe, we have a really great show lined up. We have the very talented award-winning Bill Barwick, who is going to be joining us as our musical guest. He's been the Western Music Association Male Entertainer of the Year, and we're going to be joined from California by Susan and Terry Tomasini from Tomasini Training Center and California, and then one of the premier clinicians in the country, Lester Buckley, will be joining us as well. And Tina May, Lester has trained over 2,000 horses so far in his lifetime.
Wow!
And has participated in the Light Hands Horsemanship Clinic in California for several years. Just a very knowledgeable horseman, and so they'll be joining us this Thursday at noon on the Campfire Cafe. And then, of course, on Sunday morning, Belinda Gale's Blessed Trails with Belinda Gale at 9 o'clock. And always great guest, great conversation, and great music that will lift and inspire you on Blessed Trails with Belinda Gale. So any final thoughts today?
Yes, I want to talk about our Legacy Club.
Loyal, tell us about the Legacy Club.
All right. Our Legacy Club is free. The Legacy Club offers great discounts to our members from our Legacy Club sponsors, select campgrounds, dude ranches, and even Western Adventures. As a Legacy Club sponsor, you are automatically enrolled into our drawings for free prizes, like our end-of-the-year prize of a two-horse Hydro Horse system from our premier sponsor at HydroHorse.com. And our monthly prize drawing this month's $100 gift certificate from our select sponsor, Tucker Tack. You can sign up to be a Legacy member at equestrianlegacy.net.
All right, so go visit. By the way, we've been doing some work on the website and getting some really nice compliments about that. So you can enroll for the Legacy Club there at equestrianlegacy.net. And shortly you'll find all of our Legacy Club sponsors in our very popular general store, where you'll find everything for the horse lover and folks that love the Western and equestrian lifestyle in the general store on our website at equestrianlegacy.net. And also our great show sponsors, Trailhead Supply, your full-service online horse packing supply store. You can shop with them online at Trailhead Supply. And by TrailGuard, 24-hour roadside travel assistance founded with one mission in mind, and that is guarding you down life's trails. And you can learn more about them today at TrailGuard.org. So the weather is breaking, and are we going to find you out on the trails this weekend?
You better believe it.
That 4th of July weather just kind of put a damper on a lot of people's trail riding. I mean, not only was it a lot of rain, but it was a lot of thunder and lightning, and you just don't get out on the trails with that lightning going on. So a great weekend to get out and get in the saddle. And we remind folks, as always, if you climb in the saddle,
get ready for the ride.
Get ready for the ride on Equestrian Legacy Radio, heard around the world online at equestrianlegacy.net. And we thank our audience for listening, as always, to Equestrian Legacy Radio. And we'll close this out with a great classic by Riders in the Sky. Happy trails to you. Thanks for listening.
Happy trails to you. Until we meet again, happy trails to you. Keep smiling until then. Who cares about the clouds when we're together? Just sing a song and bring the sunny weather. Happy trails to you. Till we meet again. Trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling until then. Who cares about the clouds when we're together? Just sing the song and bring the sunny weather. Happy trails to you. Till we meet again.
Goodbye, good luck, and may the good Lord take a liking to you.